For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Slash Film Daily. Today is Thursday, January 23rd, 2025. On today's episode of the show, we're going to be talking about the Sonic the Hedgehog film franchise, and we'll present an interview with Sonic movie director Jeff Fowler. My name is Ben Pearson. I'm an editor at slashfilm.com, and I'm joined on today's episode by Slash Film editors Jacob Hall.
Hello, hello.
And BJ Colangelo.
Hi, hi, hiya.
All right, BJ, you had a chance to speak with Jeff Fowler, who has directed all three of these live-action animation hybrid Sonic movies, and the third film is available on digital right now, so if people miss it in theaters, they can check that out. I know you're a fan of these movies. You talked about your love for Sonic the Hedgehog 3. Jacob, I know you also like these movies, and I just thought, I have not seen any of these. I just thought it would be fun to get the two of you on the podcast and talk about what makes the Sonic film franchise special. So, Jacob, do you have an answer to that, like a succinct reason for why these movies work, or is it sort of a multifaceted thing?
I think I'm coming from a unique angle here. I can't give you a direct answer to your question, so I'll try to explain why I like them and why I appreciate them. I don't think I love them the way that BJ does, who seems to, like, in her heart and core, like, have an affection for them. I think they're cute and they're fun, and I don't think they have a single bad bone in their body. I think they are just, like, really sweet, nice things made with good intentions. But the reason they stand out to me is that for something that is based on a you know, video game franchise or you know, a character franchise that's been around since I was a kid, and that, you know, is initially seems like an appeal toward millennial nostalgia, what's been fascinating to me is to watch kids organically gravitate toward Sonic. I mean, my nieces and nephews wear Sonic shirts, play with Sonic toys. They want to read the comics, watch the cartoons. They are obsessed with the movies, and they've never played a Sonic game. They never grew up playing Sonic games. My family never talked about Sonic. This is the strange thing where kids organically grew to love Sonic. And if you see the box office numbers for these movies, it's steadily going up because, like, these are kids who found something, even though it wasn't necessarily made for them originally. It was made for people 30 years ago. It feels like it was made for them. And these movies are different enough that they found it and claimed ownership of it in a way that you do not get with most millennial nostalgia plays. It no longer belongs to millennials. It belongs to the kids now. And that's why I like it. It's fucking cool.
Okay. So, BJ, are you able to put your finger on one aspect of what makes this franchise special?
I think it's twofold. So, Jacob is right in that Sonic comes out when a lot of millennials are children, but Sonic has never really wavered in popularity. Like, kids have always loved him between, you know, millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha. Like, the character of Sonic is what people tend to love because, I know this is blasphemous, but a lot of the games, there's like over 150 Sonic games. I think people don't realize how large the Sonic franchise is. A lot of the games are buggy and broken as hell. But people don't care because they love Sonic so much. As far as why this film franchise, I think, is so successful, is because it, to me, as I said in my review, is the Fast and the Furious franchise for young audiences, because it starts out, you know, the first movie is very much just like a buddy road trip adventure movie that happens to have Sonic in it and a lot of, like, the IP that is related. There's a lot of cute little Easter eggs scattered throughout, but ultimately, like, it is kind of a four quadrant movie. You don't have to know anything about Sonic to get into it. And as the franchise has gone on, it's gotten weirder and weirder, which is very reflective of the games, but it has fully embraced the lore of the video games and is making movies for the fans of these movies. It doesn't care as much about trying to appeal to, you know, outsiders. They're still accessible, don't get me wrong, but it very much is like, if you don't know a lot of the stories about this. Like, we kind of don't care. We're not fully going to explain this for you. And you're just going to have to understand that it's awesome. And it is awesome. And that, to me, is why these movies work so well.
Okay, so Jacob, we've seen a lot of video game movie adaptations just completely shit the bed, basically. So why do you think this franchise has succeeded where all these other ones have failed?
Character first, man. It's as simple as that. I mean, I'll compare it to Super Mario Bros. Movie, which is a huge hit, and some people seem to like it, but nobody seems to love it. And as much as that movie tries to cram in as much Mario iconography as possible, tries to, you know, here's Mario jumping, here's Mario driving a go-kart, here's Donkey Kong, it just feels a lot like a lot of imagery being paraded around in front of you. Whereas Sonic is an actual character with a personality, and he has wants, needs, and goals. And these films are built around serving Sonic on a journey, as opposed to serving iconography that makes you go, hey, look, I remember that. And I think that's been the key to it, is trying to figure out, hey, if you strip away a control from your hand, what's appealing about Sonic? And the answer is that Sonic's fun. He's a fun character, as BJ said. And he has a really interesting group of characters around him and a really fun villain. And they just put story first, put story and character first. And maybe they're not, they're simple stories. They're not, you know, they're not complicated by any means. They're, you know, intended for, you know, all audiences to enjoy. But it's just this, a really like a pared down back to the basics approach of, hey, let's make a Sonic adventure where Sonic and his friends, you know, go on an arc. Mario does not have an arc in Mario Bros. Movie. He has zero arc. He's not changing. At the beginning of the movie, Mario is one thing. At the end of the movie, he's the same thing. Whereas I arguably say that across these trilogy of movies, and a fourth one coming soon, Sonic has grown and evolved. And that's what stories are about. And it's that simple, damn it.
So I want to ask about Ben Schwartz, who is a performer that I love. I know he does the voice of Sonic. BJ, you've sort of railed against celebrity voice casting before. You and I share a real hatred for just the laziness of tapping into, hey, let's get this famous person to voice this character when there's like an entire industry. Yeah, exactly. There's an entire industry of people who succeed at voice work because they are great voice actors, basically. Ben Schwartz strikes me as somebody who's kind of in the middle. He's not like a huge name, but he's done some voice work in the past. He's recognizable from his work on Parks and Rec. Like, what do you think about Ben Schwartz as Sonic? And do you think that role might actually have been better handled in the hands of, or in the voice of, somebody whose name nobody knows?
I think that Ben Schwartz is such a perfect Sonic, because Sonic is, there are a lot of different voices that people know of as Sonic. I am particularly a big fan of PSA Sonic. Sonic used to do a lot of PSAs about, like, you know, don't let an adult touch you in the wrong place. Like, those, like, there's a wild lore of Sonic. And there is this endless childlike wonder that is always present in his voice. And I think Ben Schwartz absolutely nails it. He knows exactly how to play with this character. And I agree with you, like, he is sort of this like hybrid person where a lot of people who talk to him know him from being on television, like being like John Ralphio. Like, that's a thing that people think of when they think of Ben Schwartz. They don't know that he's like an incredibly gifted comedian, and he has been doing like improv comedy for like decade, like over a decade at this point. And so he is the perfect person to have in this voice role. And we do talk about it in the interview with Jeff Fowler about what he looks for when casting, you know, these characters, because I think that the Sonic movies are really, really smart and that they do bring in heavier hitters like Idris Elba as Knuckles, hilarious. Keanu Reeves as Shadow, absolute perfection. Like, nobody sounds as good and brooding as Keanu Reeves. Like, it's perfect. But you then have Colleen O'Shaughnessy, who has been voicing Tails in the video game series and tie-in materials for a very long time. And they brought her in because they're like, well, that voice, we don't really have the wiggle room. Like, that's kind of an established sound. People are not going to like be super chill if Tails suddenly sounds very, very different. But you can get away with it for the other characters, because the other characters, it's so much about their personalities and what they do with the character, less about like what the character sounds like exactly.
Mm. Yeah. Jacob, I wanted to ask you about Jim Carrey. Like, what is your relationship to Jim Carrey as a performer? You know, I assume you grew up, I'm a few years older than you, but I assume you grew up watching his movies. I mean, he had like that legendary 1994 of three movies that just became all-time comedy classics. And then in recent years, he hasn't really been doing much in front of the camera except for these movies. And there's been all this talk about him potentially retiring, and then he keeps getting sucked back into the world of Sonic over and over. So, like, what's your take on Jim Carrey as a performer and how he fits into the role of Dr. Robotnik?
I've run hot and cold in Carrey over the years. I mean, when I was a kid, he was the funniest man alive. Then I got a little bit older and suddenly I was over him. And now I've aged to the point where I appreciate him a lot. I like when he takes risks as a dramatic actor. And I appreciate just how manic and fun he was, you know, in those early 90s comedies. And he's interesting in the Sonic movies because I don't think he's being directed. I mean, maybe BJ talked to Jeff Fowler about this, but it really feels like they put the camera on and said, okay, Jim, make your money, you know, and let him do whatever he wants. And there's a part of me that wishes maybe that his Dr. Robotnik film was a bit more threatening and a bit less silly. But also, like I said, I'm not the target audience for these movies. I think that, you know, I'm glad that kids are getting silly Jim Carrey. I'm glad that there's one last burst of that 1994 energy happening for people who are the right age to appreciate more than anyone. Because when I was that age, you know, The Mask was the funniest thing I've ever seen. So I can, you know, do all kinds of back and forth on this and be intellectual about it, about does an overly comedic villain harm the integrity of this film? The answer is Jacob, shut the fuck up. The answer is that he's giving the people what they want, and the people are eight years old and they love Sonic and silliness, and it works.
What do you think about Jim Carrey, BJ? Does he work for you?
Oh, he's fantastic. And I've shared this story many times. I don't know if I've ever done it on this podcast, but when the first Sonic movie came out, my wife and I got invited because we're both big Sonic fans. And I don't know, whoever was running PR in Cleveland was like, I know this BJ girl is real into Sonic. Let's have her go. And so we got to go to this early screening, and we were the only people there that were adults that weren't there to chaperone their children. So it was a ton of children, a handful of adults, and then me and my wife. And when the post-credit hit, and Jim Carrey looked like the Eggman, the way that they are so used to seeing him, you would have thought that we were in the middle of Beatlemania. Little kids jumped on chairs. The girl next to me was like, it's Dr. Eggman! Like, screaming her brains out. Like, so whatever he's doing doesn't matter how any of us feel about it. It works for the kids. As far as how I feel about it, I think it's perfect. Because Sonic is such a silly world. Like, it's a silly, silly world. The third movie has a scene where Tails takes them to what is essentially like a mascot cafe, and it's the Chow Garden, which is a reference to the mini games of the Sonic movies. So it's like, it's very silly and very goofy, and you kind of need to have a silly and goofy villain, and it just works. Like, I think if he was too dastardly and too villainous, the tone would be really whack, and it wouldn't work as well. But by having him be so kind of over the top and goofy, it just works. And I also think that it's really smart in pulling, if we're going to be pulling for the nostalgia, this entire franchise is a reminder that the stuff that you thought was cool and hilarious and awesome when you were 10 is still cool and hilarious and awesome as an adult. And it's okay to still find it cool.
Okay, so Jacob, any closing thoughts, any observations about these three movies that you didn't have a chance to talk about yet?
I'm just glad that kids have a thing for them. I that's what I keep thinking about. Over Christmas, when I was visiting my family and seeing my nieces and nephews on both sides of the family play Sonic, made me realize, yes, this was once for me, and it no longer is. This belongs to the kids now. It's no longer a 90s nostalgia thing. So much of the stuff that's being released for kids is like saying, hey, parents, you like this, now make your kids love it. And I don't think that happened with Sonic. I think it happened really organically in a way it doesn't feel cynical. And the movies themselves don't feel cynical. Like, they're not mean. They're not really self-referential. There's nothing cruel or, you know, hip about them. They're just Sonic. And I like that it happened. I like that this happened to the culture. It's a really silly thing to say about a Sonic the Hedgehog film series, but I think they're a net positive for the world.
That's excellent. I grew up playing Sonic CD, which was the 1993 game for the Sega CD, which was like a lesser known version of the Sega console or whatever. But man, I had so much fun playing that game back in the day. So maybe I'll have to tap into these movies and finally check them out one day.
No spoilers here, Ben, but if you played Sonic CD, Sonic 4 might be up your alley.
Oh, interesting. Okay, maybe I'll catch up in time for Sonic 4. But okay, any closing thoughts from you, BJ? Any aspects of this franchise that you wanted to mention or shout out?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this a lot in terms of the nostalgia plays that we've been referencing. And I think that for me, the reason that the Sonic franchise works so well as sort of a nostalgia play for millennials is that anytime I go to these movies or I talk with people in their 30s about these movies, I can feel all of us kind of regress a little bit. We don't approach it the same way that I think a lot of people do with some of like the superhero movies or Star Wars movies, where we forget what it was like to watch them as kids. And instead we just are cynical adults complaining that they weren't as good as when we were kids. When adults talk about Sonic, we all turn 12 years old again. And it's like, we talked about it in this interview, but at the press screening, there was a table of plushies and it was Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Shadow. And I watched as like full grown adults lit up because they got to take their friend home with them. And I don't know any other like nostalgia baiting sort of franchise that exists right now that has had that same effect. Like Sonic is magic, and I will watch these movies as long as they make them.
Awesome. Okay, so let's take a break and then we'll come back and present BJ's interview with director Jeff Fowler.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
So at the press screening in Los Angeles for Sonic, there was a table and right next to check-in with piles of Sonic, Tails, Knuckles, and Shadow plushies. And a lot of us were discussing that, like, we don't care about your astrology sign. We want to know what plushie you would take from the table, because I think you can learn a lot about a person based on what plushie they took. Like, so for example, I took Tails because I'm not only a perpetual player too, but also I'm a support person in my community. I can be a leader when I need to be, but ultimately, like, I love to support other people. So who would you pick from the Sonic plushie table, and what do you think that says about you?
Oh, I mean, this will feel so lame, but I really would choose Sonic only because of, I think there's a optimism that Sonic embodies, like it's that sort of, and Ben has embodied it in our movie Sonic. It's just like that fundamental, it's like being the joy of being a kid. Like, and I think in me, I mean, I'm 46 years old, but I very much have a firm grasp on what I loved as a kid and what I grew up with. And I think like that channeling that and that sort of that love of the movies and the games and all the stuff that I experienced growing up and holding on to that kind of like just that optimism and that joy, I think is so important in certainly in what I do with the films and try to get everyone around me as we make these things also have that joy and excitement, enthusiasm about the stories we're telling. But I think Ben embodies it so well in Sonic and in our movie Sonic. And I think like he's such a positive, vibrant spirit. It's just that's what I think like has made these movies sort of connect with audiences.
Oh, definitely. And I'm glad that you're highlighting Ben because I couldn't agree more. He completely understands who Sonic is supposed to be as the character. Like there's a little bit of like the era of Sonic that's like, that's no good. Like PSA Sonic that he brings into it, which I just absolutely love. And I mean, Colleen had been voicing my boy Tails for quite some time, but you really did strike gold with Ben Schwartz and Idris Elba and Keanu Reeves, which means the pressure is on for character who shows up in the post credits. Right. So what is most important to you when looking for a performer to bring on to bring such a beloved and iconic character to life that already has an established sound in the minds of so many fans?
Oh, it's tricky, but a lot of it also comes into it's like you have almost have to do a roll call with who you already have and see who where will they fit. Like it's funny because Keanu has mentioned it in some of his interviews in terms of how he found or explored a voice for Shadow, because you know he instantly looked at Idris and it's like, well, Idris is, you know, his down really low and you can't go lower than Idris Elba, I don't think, for voice. And so it wasn't like he was going to try and I even told him, I was like, look, aside from Colleen, who maybe is affecting her voice a little bit more, it's like we're not creating caricatures, right, with these characters. Mm-hmm. Like they're already, I mean, just visually, they're already so stylized. So when the actors come in to do the performances, I just want them to be great actors and not to feel like they've suddenly got to go off into like cartoon land and become like, you know, push their voices to a point that sounds unnatural. Because I think when you have the grounded voice work, like what Keanu has done with Shadow, and then you pair it with the visual, which is, you know, he still is a hedgehog, you know, it's like that feels like the right balance of like stylized character, stylized imagery, but really rooting it and grounding it in a performance that is just more real, and it's not making it just feel too pushed. So with, you know, whenever we bring in new characters to this series, It's really more about just getting finding really great actors and then finding the storylines and finding the performance.
And watching the Sonic movies, I can only speak for myself as somebody in their mid-30s, but I find myself regressing so often because it's a reminder that the things you thought were cool when you were 10 are still cool when you're in your 30s and 40s. But I also find myself regressing whenever I watch Jim Carrey just really go with that physicality, because that is such a core tenet to like my developing brain of like what is comedy to me is Jim Carrey movies in the 90s. So this is his third go around as Robotnik. Do you really have to give him much direction at this point, or is this a character that's become second nature for him?
Oh, I mean, we have great conversations. I think like no one has done more to create the voice of Robotnik and how he talks than Jim has, and certainly also appearance. But Jim very much leaves the overall story arcs to us on the filmmaking side. Like he wants to come in. He wants to make his scenes great. He wants to make, obviously, he's always had such a great ideas with how to build the Stone and Robotnik relationship and like that. Just all the ways to kind of build his character. But then in terms of the movie and what's the bigger picture? Like, we've got a great relationship and he will always, when I tell him, like, if I say, we've got to do it this way because of this thing that happens later. It's going to, you know, affect or there's going to like, he always trusts me to sort of be the gatekeeper of the story. And then he knows that I want him to bring all these great, you know, ideas that are scene specific, that are character specific, that just plus everything and make it funnier because, you know, you have a guy like Jim Carrey around, you want to know what do his instincts tell him, you know, to do what's the best version of this joke. No, it really is. And it's been pointed out a lot that both Sonic and Jim Carrey were kind of born in the 90s and mm-hmm. now be having this amazing sort of I don't even want to call it a resurgence, but just like they've just got such a great place in the culture right now, and it's obviously very well deserved.
Oh, absolutely. And I joked in my review for Sonic that Sonic is fast and Shadow is furious, so this franchise deserves to continue for as long as that one, because there's nearly 150 Sonic games for them to pull lore from at this point. So how long do you think the series could last? Like, have we jumped the shark once we have like Sonic Spinball the movie? How do you feel about it?
The only way to wrap your head around something like that is really just to take it one at a time and be mindful mm-hmm. of where you've been I think each time out, we've always been very conscious of like not wanting to feel like, hey, we're just kind of making the same movie. Like we need mm-hmm. things. And it's always been characters that come in and push us or allow us to go in new directions and take on new stories, new themes, new subject matter. I mean, exactly what Shadow provided in Sonic 3. It's like that sort of opportunity to do a little bit of a tonal shift, you know, go into some slightly more dramatic, slightly darker kind of, you know, without going too far, of course, because it very much is a little bit of a balancing act. So that for me is as long as there are characters that are exciting and interesting and offer us something new, then yeah, this could go on for a while. And as you say, 30 plus years, I mean, there's so much material out there and such a great library of characters. It's a great problem to have.
Absolutely. So I have time for one last question. With Shadow the Hedgehog turning 20 this year, you've been a part of the Sonic family longer than some of the fans have been alive.
That makes me feel old.
I'm so sorry. I had the same crisis.
No, that's a great point.
So what have you lived and or learned from your experiences with this franchise?
See what you did there, and I like it. No, it's just the endurability of it. I mean, it really, that like, it's just exciting to see. I mean, this, the year of Shadow, I feel like has been so great. I mean, to Sega have a big success in Sonic Shadow Generations is huge, and so happy for them, because you know, you want it to be like, you want the games and the movies to be supporting each other, and you don't want to be like, oh, the movies are doing really well, but you know, the games, it's like, to have two really big sort of hits in the same year, I'm just so happy for Sega, happy for Paramount. To like, these are both really great partners in these movies and games, and could not be more supportive in what we're doing. And so we're just wanting, you know, rooting for everybody and wanting success for everyone.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that is the time I have with you today. Thank you so much for chatting with me, and congratulations on yet another phenomenal film. I think that it's just getting better and better with each installment.
Oh, thanks, BJ. It's very
You're
kind.
You're welcome.
Yeah, nice meeting you. Appreciate
nice meeting
support.
You as well.
All right, that'll do it for today's episode of the show. You can find more about the Sonic franchise, including reviews of all three movies, at slashfilm.com. I will link to those in the show notes of this episode. Slash Film Daily is published every weekday, bringing you the most exciting news from the world of movies and TV, as well as deeper dives into the great features you can find on the site. You can subscribe to the show on Apple, Overcast, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Send your feedback, questions, comments, concerns, and mailbag topics to us at bpearson@slashfilm.com. Make sure to leave your name and general geographic location in case we mention your email on the air. Don't forget to take a minute to rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really helps out a lot. Tell your friends about the show any way you can. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you all tomorrow.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.